Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And today we're live. We're taking calls 410-662-8780 locally. Toll free 866-661-9309. And if you're shy and you want to email us instead, it's Foreman Wolf, F-O-R-E-M-A-N-W-O-L-F at WYPR.org. And we're talking about desperation cooking.
Mm-hmm.
The most difficult time of the year to cook. It's a great time to be in the kitchen, but for things to play with and new inspirations is a little tough, right?
Well, and I think also it's just warm enough outside where you may want to venture out and open up your grill, which for sure I do. And kebab is one of my favorite things to cook at home. And
kebab, like okay, Robert?
No, like Middle Eastern cooking.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, you can use ground lamb. The great thing is you could use ground lamb, ground beef, ground chicken, and, you know, again, you're just mixing it with some...
To be a knucklehead, you mean things to put on a skewer?
Yep, yeah.
Okay.
And you can either put them on a skewer, which is actually looks like a flat sword, and do the real kebab, or and grill them. And you do need a little bit of egg to bind. You need a little bit... I always put a little bit of yogurt in it and a little bit of breadcrumb, but very little.
So you're talking about ground lamb with a little breadcrumb, yogurt,
mm-hmm.
and how would
probably
you...
Probably one egg for a pound of meat. You don't need that much
okay.
egg. And it just kind of... It just binds it together. And then, again, you're with whatever spices you like. I would absolutely put saffron in and probably a little bit of chili powder and maybe even off Middle Eastern, but I would definitely put Tabasco in and salt and pepper. And you literally just form it onto the sword. Now, I guess I don't really know where you can order those, but I'm sure that we can all find them online somewhere because that's the magic of online.
Just look up tiny Middle Eastern swords.
Yeah, they're not that tiny. They're actually like 2 feet long or 18 inches long probably. Or you could just form them into little cakes, which is what I do. It's just easier to do. And I either start them on the grill and finish them on the grill. And I literally only make them into little 2 ounce little
but
patties.
But you got to have
them
big
will.
Enough so they don't fall through your grill grates when you
right.
flip them, right?
Right. And then, or you can just, if you don't feel like walking out to your grill or you don't have a grill, just put them in the oven. And I bake them in a 375, 400 degree oven. And, that's a great treat. And, you know, we were talking about rice recently, and of course, basmati rice with this. And I do make cucumber yogurt, or you can make a different type of yogurt that has shallots in it. So get a good Greek yogurt that has, you know, it's nice and thick, has a lot of flavor, and either add finely chopped raw shallot to it, or
you're talking
a very
about not
small...
the low fat variety.
No way, no low fat. Not never do I talk about yeah. anything that's low fat. But and just either add shallots or cucumbers to that. It's so refreshing. It's so good with the ground meat, the little bit of kebab, or the and the rice, and it's just a great dish. And it's that is healthy food pretty well. I mean, there's nothing that's not good for you in there. And I also like to just a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, either on the rice or on the plate, or have it with a kebab. And with something like that, you want this, you know, just great healthy salad. Whatever lettuces you like, whether it's red romaine or arugula or frisée, whatever you find in the grocery store that you think looks nice and fresh.
Yeah, I mean, that's also the tough thing, because you
right.
still have... You know, places all kinds of bad weather, shipping problems, and
yeah.
you worry about products in the store. When you're looking at a recipe and you're like, oh, I have to go get frisée, or I have to get romaine, or I have to get red leaf lettuce, for God's sake, get whatever looks the nicest and the freshest and has the most crunch, snap. There's no rusty
mm-hmm.
edges to any of the greens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wilted in some sort of a way, because that's, you know, being a slave to a recipe when there's not product to make the recipe with is...
You
going
should
to be
always,
unsuccessful.
You should always use your good sense when you're making anything, and be able to adapt. That is truly the joy of cooking, is once you have cooked a little bit, then you know what you can change in and change out and adapt and do what you want. Or it's, if you aren't an experienced cook, it's part of the fun of learning how to cook is, well, let me try this. I mean, you know, it's, you're not being graded. You know, it's for you. It's for your family. It's something to
actually,
have fun with, explore, experiment, and be creative with.
If you want to call us and have arrange to have Cindy come to your house to grade
no,
your cooking.
No,
it's 410-662-8780. I'm sure she'd be excited to come and judge your kebab or your yogurt preparation.
I'll just be happy to come and eat your kebab. that's what I would be happy to do. Those are and that big salad, I would throw mint in if you can find nice basil, or maybe you are growing basil in your house in the wintertime. Fresh, really fresh things, cucumbers. Maybe you find a tomato that you could roast and add to it, that you could intensify the flavor that way. Again, a very good extra virgin olive oil. I think something that maybe people don't have a clear view on is that there's so many different types of extra virgin olive oil. Spain, Italy, Greece, France, wherever they're coming from, California, different places in the United States, they all have different flavors. And really, I mean, I work with 3 or 4 different types of extra virgin olive oils from all over the world, because in this particular salad, I'm going to want this particular flavor profile from this oil.
Well, you want it to taste like the fruit. That's the other thing. The quality thing, yeah. It's that do check the date somehow for the harvest date if you can on the olive oil. It is absolutely worth it to make sure. It should be within a year of the harvest date when
and
you use that oil.
And then you want to store it the right way too, which means not in a hot place.
Like you would treat wine. You treat it like you would treat chocolate, tomatoes, things that don't need to be cold, but things need to be cool.
Right. So you want to keep it away from your stove when you're not using it, and away from a heat source, away from a window.
Well, it's made from fruit. It's going to die if you heat it.
Exactly.
So a salad in the wintertime I end up making because you can find decent things shipped, and you can usually find good Belgian endive.
Mm-hmm.
You can usually find decent mint of some sort. You can usually find some kind of nice lettuce. Asian pears oftentimes you can find throughout the course of the year. All of those things with the vinaigrette, maybe with that fresh mint, and beets. Golden beets are sometimes nicer than the red beets in this application. Just roasted, like covered in coarse salt and olive oil, roasted in their jackets, cooled, and then peeled once they're cooled and sliced with all of those elements, the endive, the beet, the Asian pear, and the mint vinaigrette is a terrific.
Yeah, so refreshing.
Pretty non-seasonal, but still refreshing, crunchy.
And healthy. And, we're working with golden beets right now, and I cannot believe how sweet they are inherently. I mean,
well, we've had a guy growing them all winter long in a hoop house for us, and
they're delicious.
That makes a giant difference.
So that is fantastic, and they actually are local, which is super cool. And, they are. They're fantastic. One of the other things I was thinking about are peppers, because they are available, and doing a great dish. One of the great things about cooking at home is that you are making it and you're eating it, unlike in a restaurant where we have to do some pre-preparation and then we do a la minute cooking. But to make a dish of stuffed peppers, say in a South American or a Mexican way with, again, it could be rice, but it could also be a ground beef. It could be ground chicken. And again, you're having a meal that's really effective cost-wise for your family. There's not an expensive ingredient in it. You can feed a lot of people. You can make a lot of them and just throw them in the oven. And, don't throw them in the oven, but, put them in a pan and put them in the oven.
It's opening day for baseball this week. I'm picturing a wind-up. And
from across the kitchen.
Exactly
that might
right.
Be, that is not the way to cook. But, stuffing them with I think, the ground beef. And, again, maybe using a palmy tomato or something like that to make a little bit of a tomato filling or a tomato stuffing or tomato sauce to bake them in. And again, you're going with whatever spice level you like. Do you want to put a hot pepper in there with that ground force meat? But I think stuffed peppers just sounds, bright and fresh. Again, you're using vegetables. You're adding in meat. You're making a dish that's like a one pot kind of dish thing, and something that would be easy for you to make for your family.
So I want to change the topic on you.
Okay.
I want to change the topic. We're talking about cooking at home an awful lot. Mm-hmm. We've never talked about cooking tools, knives to use, gadgets that we like, don't like, recommend, don't recommend. What do you think is the one thing you cannot, one gadget or tool that you cannot go without? I mean, outside of like knives and cutting boards and things like that. What is the thing you cannot live without? And what is the thing that you bought for your kitchen, some kind of tool or gadget that you've never used anywhere near as much as you thought you would?
Oh, gosh. Well, one of the things that I love having near me are different types. Well, it's not, I can't just say one thing. It's a number of different types of spoons. So I like to make quenelles or whatever.
You mean like different sizes of spoons with different shapes?
Exactly. So either I have different spoons that I use to stir my rice, or I'll have wooden spoons for rice, or, you know, whatever it is. I have slotted spoons. I use smaller spoons to.
Now, you're very organized. Do you have like titles for these spoons?
No.
Do you have them organized by height?
No.
You know, by materials,
actually,
all the different metal
They're
spoons,
all in
and
a drawer.
Then all the wooden spoons, and okay, the spoon drawer.
So lots of different types of spoons, from small to big, from wooden to metal, and then also we were talking about it in the kitchen yesterday. A fish spatula. I cannot work without a fish spatula. And the cool
I'm
thing
with
about
you on
a
the fish spatula thing. I think I have three. The God
yeah,
bless it.
Yeah,
things.
And Global makes a great one. Wusthof makes a great one. Global is all metal. Wusthof has a wooden handle with a metal frame, and this is I don't even know how to describe the shape. It's this sort of the shape of a fish in a way,
it's the shape
slots.
Of one of Gumby's hands with slots in it.
There you go. Yeah. And the thing is that I will use that thing to scoop, you know, braise it. I'll be blanching vegetables and I'll use that to, you know, not just for fish. I use it for a million different things. So I highly suggest
it's a fish spatula. When you become good with it, it's a bit of a wand.
Yeah,
you can do an awful lot of things
that,
with it.
And I don't know, you know, when I started doing a little bit of TV shows, I would go to the studio and I always brought my own tools, and then they would maybe hand me something. And I remember the first time, and I was nervous, it was national television, and they handed me these tongs that lock. And I'm sorry.
Oh, you couldn't
I
open
am
them?
Not supporting the locking tongs. Those are the most horrible things I've ever seen in my life.
I recall hearing this story, and they wouldn't open. And I didn't know what the
mechanism
was. And
here I am on national television trying to, you know, use the tongs.
Unlock the tongs.
These tongs are stuck closed. It was awful.
That's okay. So, remember the cooking segment where I had to do the cooking segment and I had to do something on high heat?
Oh.
And they tell me 20 seconds ahead of time there's no ventilation system.
Oh, you smoked up the
so,
studio.
Yeah, it was like Puff the Magic Dragon was running through the studio and... These damn shrimp were assassinated in a cloud of smoke.
Yeah, well, so I suggest restaurant-style tongs and heavy-duty, and that is absolutely essential to me. If I go to my mom's house, I take a cutting board, I take my tongs, and I take my knives, and probably my fish spatula.
You know what you have to take when you go to someone's house and they're going to ask you to help cook?
Yes.
Is your peeler.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Because one of those, the heavy-duty, like, OXO peelers...
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, you get one of those peelers. Like my great grandmother, God bless her, she used a knife. She'd have one of those peelers,
yeah.
And if you were dumb, you'd use the peeler instead of using the knife to peel something, because you just tear your hands to pieces with the thing. You can actually cut nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But a decent peeler. That's one. If you're inviting someone over and you want to hammer the cooking,
yeah,
you know, for God's sake, give them
a
decent peeler.
Well, and we mentioned cutting boards. My mother has a plexiglass cutting board. I swear to goodness.
That's a recipe to slice your arm
off.
It is.
You're right. Every time, I don't even want to go near that thing. I'm not putting a knife on there. The knife literally slides off of those things. I don't know what they're supposed to be for.
A wooden cutting board or
a
heavy rubber cutting board.
Absolutely.
Those,
that is
those
the only choice.
Those plexiglass things are terrifying.
Yeah, please don't buy. Or ceramic. No. None of those. They have to be wood.
If I go to someone's house and they're cooking, God bless them, first off.
Yeah, right.
Because you don't get invited
if they know you can cook. Yeah, exactly. It's so nice when someone actually invites us
and
over.
And the second thing is, then they start talking to you while they're using their knife, and they have a ceramic or a plexiglass cutting board, and you're just convinced, let me put 911 on speed dial on my phone, because I know their finger's going all around the kitchen here in a couple minutes.
Right. Well, that was, graphic. Okay.
Sorry.
So, all right.
I have a lot
tools.
Of fears.
What
I
tools
have a lot
do you
of fears.
Like?
The thing I cannot go with, you know this, I mortar and pestle. Different
oh,
size,
yeah.
Mocajete, the big guys,
oh,
you know.
Those are so great.
You know, and people think of making avocado,
guacamole.
Guacamole, I was going to say aguacate, you know, any kind of salsa and things like that in those. But even just a small, instead of a spice grinder or something, using a manual, I have a little stone, marble mortar and pestle. That's a fantastic thing, and you can really control as you crush things, you smell what happens when you have dried ingredients. You know, if it's a favorite spice mix for me is juniper, black pepper, and coriander seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also tell, because you don't know exactly how fresh those dried ingredients are, how strong they're going to be together. You can tell from the aromas if you need to add a little more of one or the other to see exactly, you know, exactly what's going to happen with them over time.
Absolutely.
Even when you're, you want to make a very quick herb oil, if it's just mint and basil and very good olive oil, if you put a little bit of something coarse in there, like sea salt, and you begin to crush and you can smell the herbs, you can adjust what you need to do based on the aromatics and the mortar and pestle, and that's kind of ancient but very easy, useful, delicate instrument.
And I think you just hit on something that's super important about a mortar and pestle, which is what is the texture of the inside of the mortar.
Yeah.
Because you have one that's marble, and that's super smooth, and then you have the mocajete, which is made from lava rock, which is you know, really, really porous and super, super textured. And those are two totally different tools, basically.
I use that to mash pumpkins and, to make pumpkin soup.
But you wouldn't put saffron in the mocajete. You know, you would put saffron to grind the threads in the marble mortar and pestle.
Yeah,
that's super important to understand. Very good. What else do you like?
I never, ever use, it's funny, I have the food processor and I have the blender. I've used more than a food processor, but mostly I don't use any of the electrical things anymore.
Either.
Entertaining people, tabletop fryer, a little tabletop fryer.
Yeah.
People don't do fried things. They end up doing it like on a sheet pan, like pre-fried or something, or they try to do it in a pan.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the same as deep frying it. It's actually easily lighter and less fat to deep fry something.
Absolutely.
At the proper temperature and nice fresh oil. It doesn't, the doughs don't retain as much, or the whatever the seafood is doesn't retain as much oil if you do it that way, because it fries so quickly. It takes much longer in a pan. It cooks much less evenly. You get a different seal. It doesn't steam from the inside the same way.
Yeah.
The quality of what you can get from some of those tabletop fryers is remarkable.
Just make sure you don't overload it. That's the biggest thing. You do not want to bring, you're putting cold product in a hot fryer at 350 degrees. If you put too much product in, you're going to bring the temperature down too quickly, and you're not going to fry crispy and quickly. So do not, those little tabletop fryers are really small. Just put a little bit of product in. The other thing, I think one of the reasons why people may not like frying at home is, one, it does have a lot of odor, and two, whether it's just the smell of the fried food permeates through the house, or even the oil odor permeates through the house, I would suggest that you have a fan in your kitchen. You just pop open a window if it's wintertime, and if it's cool enough outside, I would ventilate my kitchen to keep that out. And also, there's going to be a bunch of grease in the air. That's just the way that it is. So try and have that fryer somewhere near your fan for your stove, if you can. And that will help to keep some of that grease from going through your kitchen or even through your house.
Yeah, that's...
I love fried food, and it is. I think a lot of people just don't want to deal with it at home. Well, then you have to deal with disposing of the fat. So I always keep the original containers. Once it's cooled down, I strain it, I cool it down, and then I go back into the original containers, pop the lid on, and
just to use
it goes.
A fine mesh sieve is not a big investment.
To
clean that oil up, and that's also something you want to keep cool. That's something that I keep in my
basement.
Yeah,
well, and I could go through like a quick little list of go ahead.
We have a couple of emails. Very generous. Pat in Towson, I make a point of listening to your program on Sunday, and not only do I enjoy listening to both of you talk about food, which is very nice, but your theme song is one of my all-time favorites.
Me too. Us,
Pat,
yeah.
That's why it's
our
theme song.
Yeah, we love it. That's cool. Thanks, Pat.
And then a question from Catherine. My husband and I will be staying in a farmhouse outside Libourne, so near Bordeaux, during the month of June. Be shopping at local grocery stores and fixing dinner. Can you give me the recipe to prepare while there?
I hope you'll be shopping at local markets.
Yeah, one of the things you want to find out in advance, and I'll give you a minute to think about a recipe, but I'll give her advice on the look for the schedule around that area. You're near Pomerol in Saint-Emilion, by the way. The town of Saint-Emilion is a super beautiful little town. You'll enjoy visiting lots of growers there, but honestly, the town itself is gorgeous. If you go to the other side of Bordeaux, there's a ridiculous little restaurant that I love, just outside of Serrans, is right on the national road, and at some point I'll think of the name of the God blessed place, Le Lion d'Or, just like the restaurant that was famous for so long in Washington, but that's a great, very old fashioned Medoc kind of restaurant. It's about 45 minutes away from where you're staying, but the market schedule for the towns around where you are is what you really want.
That's the whole dream. If you have a place with a kitchen, is each day there's a market day. So that can be a part of your journey, which is just driving 25, 45 minutes, maybe even 15 minutes to the town each day that has a market, and grab cheese, grab bread, you know, all these things that are so motivating and exciting to see, fresh fish, and start experimenting.
Well, when we come back, and thanks for the emails, when we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we'll have Rick from Baxter Soft Shells.